Just before that, the debate had heated up in Congress about the possibility of strengthening the Confiscation Act. And that resulted in July of 62 with what was called the Second Confiscation Act. This was much tougher than the First Confiscation Act, much broader. It said you couldn't return any escaped slave to a master, and said that any slave that escaped from a rebel owner was free. So here it takes care of that gray area that was left by the March 62 legislation. If you're a slave of a master loyal to the Confederacy and you make your way to Union lines, you not only won't be sent back, but you would be liberated. Didn't say loyal masters in the Confederacy. This is only the slaves of masters who were Confederates, not masters who were loyal to the United States. They're the ones covered by the Second Confiscation Act. Much, much tougher. In all of these pieces of legislation, Congress is sort of groping its way toward a position where the North is going to be firmly on record against slavery. It's not there yet. None of this says anything about slavery in the United States, in the border states that are still in the United States. None of it says anything about the allegedly loyal slaveholders in the Confederacy. So it's not a clear, broad statement yet that we have from Congress, but a group of congressional acts that are leading toward the end of slavery. Congress certainly would have gone further down this road, but before they could, Abraham Lincoln stepped in and seized the stage from them. And he really, after that point, would be the principal actor. And let's move to Abraham Lincoln. And let's look at him in the spring of 1862, when he's trying to decide whether emancipation was necessary to win the war. At that point, he, as I said earlier, was against slavery. And his plan at that stage of the war was this. It had five main parts. Slavery is a domestic institution, which means that it must be abolished by the states. That's number one. Second, the owners should be compensated for the loss of their property. Third, the federal government should pay part of that cost by providing grants and aid to the states. Fourth, he said the process should be gradual to avoid too much dislocation, social dislocation. And fifth, he said those slaves should be colonized abroad. So Lincoln wanted gradual, compensated emancipation accompanied by colonization. He asked Congress in March of 1862 for funds to support compensation of owners, and Congress agreed. Lincoln then went to the border states and he said, listen, we have some money. I want you to come up with a plan to end slavery in your states. You'll be compensated for your property. Please give me a blueprint to accomplish this. But in March, and again in May, the border states refused to come up with a plan. Lincoln had told them that this would cushion the shock of emancipation. It would let the United States come to terms with it gradually. They didn't come up with a plan. On July 12th, 1862, Lincoln tried again with the border states. This time he included a warning when he talked to them. He said he would much rather see them come up with a plan. That would be the best way to do it. But he said, if you don't, I can't control how this war goes. The war may spin out of any limits that we can see now. Your slaves may be taken away from you without compensation. So it's to your selfish advantage to come up with a plan. He mentioned David Hunter's order and what he had tried to do. I'm sure he mentioned Fremont's as well. Again, the border states representatives refused. They voted by more than 2-1 not to come up with a plan for compensated emancipation. That night, Lincoln decided to issue an Emancipation Proclamation. And on July 22nd, he told his cabinet that he had decided to do that. But he was persuaded by some of his advisors that he couldn't issue it immediately because it would look like an act of desperation. This was right after the 7 days reverse on the battlefield. He was persuaded to wait until Union military forces gave him a clear victory. Then he could issue the proclamation. It would seem like he was doing it from a position of strength rather than weakness. Well, McClellan gave him the opportunity at Antietam. Lincoln had to wait through the rest of July, through all of August, and through about half of September before he got his victory. He called the cabinet together on September 22nd, 5 days after the Battle of Antietam, told them that he was going to issue his preliminary proclamation.